The word is good. Amen. Amen. The blood is good. Amen. Glory to God. Where would we be without the blood of Jesus? Whew, I was one of those people that naturally should have been left on the spiritual scrap pile. Addicted to drugs and alcohol, had a gambling addiction, lived a promiscuous lifestyle, just terrible mouth, you know. It's like, I remember seeing some kids over on the playground that we took the kids to, and they're talking a certain way, you know, and just kind of feeling protective of my kids, you know, so they wouldn't hear things, and just could tell they were kind of rough, you know, and Spirit of God said, that used to be you. I thought, man, God has a plan for them. Amen. Amen. You're not looking at a person that grew up in church as a choir boy. Hallelujah. Jesus saved me. Hallelujah. Set me free in all areas. No matter what you're facing, He's your answer. No matter what you're facing, praise God. Well, let's get into the Bible this morning. Hallelujah. Father, we're so thankful for the Word this morning. Lord, we thank You that You've given us Your Word to direct and guide us. For Your Word is a light, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. You said, if you don't want to fail, if you want to succeed in life, here's my word. Thank you, Lord. That's merciful of you and kind of you. So, Father, help us this morning as we minister the word. May I say what you want said. May we do what you want done. Lord, my words not be my own. We're not here for opinions or man's ideas or philosophies or theories. We are here to hear from heaven. So, Father, I thank you. As I open my mouth, you'll fill it. Words from heaven will come out in every single person in this place. Father, their heart will be touched this morning by something that is said from my mouth, which ultimately came from you. Father, you'll speak to them on their level. No matter what they're going through, Father, answers will come, direction will come, encouragement will come. And Father, it'll be a sign unto them of how real you are. Because Father, how can I know what to say that can bless every single person in this room? I don't know how to do that, but you do. So I thank you that you touch people's hearts on a personal level. And it's a demonstration of how good you are, but also, Father, it's a demonstration that this place, Family Church South Dayton, is a place where people can come and hear from heaven. So Father, we in anticipation thank you for what's about to take place. Every time we gather, it's life-changing opportunities. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we've been looking at healing, God's will on healing. We've been in a series, and this is part 5 of our series entitled God's Will on Healing. If you've not been here or you want to go back and listen, these services are archived on our live stream. We do encourage you to listen to them. And I'm going to do such a speedy review here today because we got things to get to, new things to get to. And we've taken a little bit of time here this morning. And my goal is not to keep you here forever today. And so we're going to go ahead and just do a little bit of a quick review. We saw in the first 4 weeks, I'm just going to kind of gloss over it real quick. We saw that it is God's will to heal, didn't we? We saw that in the Bible, God declared, He said, I am. Just the same way, you don't question if I'm a boy. He said, I think he's really a girl. No, I say, I'm a boy. I'm a boy. I'm telling you, I'm a boy. I have gray hair. I'm short. You don't argue with me because I'm declaring. My name is Mike. I am Mike. You don't argue with that, right? God says, I am the Lord that heals you. But yet a lot of people, they wonder, does God want to heal me? He said, that's who I am. And we saw that there's a demonstration of God's mercy on the earth, that we can see God's will on healing in the life of Jesus. Because Jesus said, I'm only here to do and say as my Father wants me to do and say. I don't do anything on my own accord. Jesus said, whatever I do, it's because the Father wants it. Well, what did Jesus do in his ministry? He went about healing people in their body, setting them free, only because he looked into heaven and that's what the Father wanted. So Jesus is a demonstration of the Father's will on healing. Praise God forevermore. We saw in week 2 that you need to know who you are. That you are a child of God. You are in God's family, praise the Lord. And we saw the people in the Old Testament were not considered children of God. They were called servants of God. For the Bible's definition of a child of God is somebody that has received Jesus after he had died and rose again, believing on him, becoming born again into the family. The people in the Old Testament were considered servants of God. But we look at the life of the people, the servants of God, the children of Israel, the Jewish people. They were God's people. And we saw that God offered them a covenant of healing, that divine bodily healing belonged to them. It was a benefit of being God's. Amen? Well, and then we saw in Hebrews 8 that the Bible says when Jesus came, it was a more excellent ministry based on better covenant with better promises. So if we can look at the servants getting healed, how much more do the children deserve healing? Amen. The guy that cuts my grass, even though that's me, but if there was a guy that cuts my grass, that sounds kind of nice, a guy that would cut my grass. But I'm the guy, but let's say I had a guy that came and cut my grass and he's serving me and helping me. I'll tell you what, I want his life blessed and I want him to do okay, but I don't have an interest in him and an interest in his life being blessed like I do my son, like I do my daughter over tearing it up in children's church. I know she's doing that. You know she is too. Hallelujah. Or maybe she hides it from you all. Some of you have gotten glimpses of the Abby machine. She's real. It's a real thing. Praise God. We love it. We love it all day long. She stayed at her grandparents for the first time this week. We went out of town for a day, and she didn't want to come because it involved a baseball game. In the last baseball game I came to, I don't know who was more miserable, her or she made me more miserable than her because she hated it, was bored. And so we said, you want to stay at Grandma and Grandpa? She said, yes. So I get back her first night. We're thinking, man, she's going to be afraid, be scared. She might be sad. She could care less. Didn't want nothing to do with us. We got back. I said, Abby, did you miss me? And her words were, no. I mean, she said it. I'm telling you the truth. That's her. That's her. But we were like, okay, well, we know we're dumping her off for baseball games. Not going to ruin my baseball game. You're a child of God. And we saw 2 weeks ago that Jesus paid for it. He himself took our sicknesses, the Bible said. When he was on that cross, not only did he die for your sins, but he died for your sickness. Why? He wants you healed. His body was wounded so you wouldn't have to be. Hallelujah. And then we saw last week, we saw there are hindrances to divine healing, didn't we? And before I taught you, which I'm going to teach today, how to receive divine healing, we said we got to talk about these hindrances. Because it's one thing to learn about divine healing, but if you have hindrances in your life that's stopping it, it's not going to matter that you know how to receive it. You got to get these hindrances out of your life. So I encourage you to go on live stream and look at those six things. They weren't meant to condemn you. They weren't meant to make you feel bad. You know, when I correct my children, it's not because I want them to feel bad. It's not because I want to condemn them or make them feel guilty. I want to correct the wrong they're doing because the wrong leads to worse things. The wrong can hurt them. I correct them because I love them. And the Bible says in Hebrews that God corrects the children that he loves. So if you get correction by the word of God, don't feel guilty. Don't get condemned. Don't beat yourself up. Don't get into shame. Just say, praise God, I'm loved and he wants better for me. Amen. So we're going on today. This is part 5, God's Will on Healing, part 5. And today we're going to talk about how to receive divine healing. And so if you're here this morning, and let me just caution you this. You might say, Pastor, I'm doing great. I don't need divine healing. I'm going to tune you out. Well, I had a faithful person who's a lover of the word come up to me and say, Pastor, I'm doing good in my body. From head to toe, basically, what they were saying is, I'm healed. I really don't need healing right now. But there's been so much utterance for other things. And so don't tune me out. You might not need healing today, but God can have a message about healing and speak to you about your money. God can have a message about healing and speak to you about your marriage. God can have a message about healing and speak to you about your children, about answers that you need. Praise God. And by the way, how many of you know the Navy SEALs, when they don't have a mission, are not sitting around eating Cheetos and playing video games? What are they doing? They're preparing for when the enemy attacks, when the enemy strikes. They're sharp. When the enemy strikes, it's not the time to say, oh, well, hold on, enemy. We need a good 2 weeks to prepare and to train for this. No, that's too late. They're trained and ready. It's the same thing. The Bible says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, I don't know anything worse that can steal, kill, and destroy for you than sickness and disease. And the devil will come a knocking at your door and try to put symptoms on you, try to put things on your body. And if you can take this message, even though you don't need healing right now, take it and strengthen yourself. Build your faith so when the attack comes, you're ready to fire back. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So let's look at God's will on healing and how to receive divine healing. Go to John chapter 5 and verse 1. John chapter 5 and verse 1. Hallelujah. Talking about how to receive divine healing. If you're here today and you got sickness in your body, just remind you, the Bible says, I will heal all your diseases. I don't care what the doctor says. I mean, I care because I'm compassionate and sympathetic towards your life. I don't want you sick. But the doctor's report does not trump God's report. He said, I'll heal all your diseases. He didn't say, I'll heal all the ones that are naturally curable. I'll only heal the ones that the doctors say can be healed. No. He said, I'll heal them all. Curable, incurable. Praise God. So if you're here today and you're going through sickness in your body, I'll tell you what, your ears, y'all be perking up. Praise God. It said in John chapter 5 and verse 1, there was a feast of the Jews and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. And in these porches there lay a great multitude of impotent or sick folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the move of the water. So at this place, there was a lot of sick people. And they're waiting for the moving of the water. Well, what happened? Verse 4 tells us that an angel went down at a certain season in the pool and troubled or stirred up the water. And whoever was first of the sick people to get into the water, whoever was first after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease they had. So there's a bunch of sick people there, and then there was a move of God at a certain season that would come and stir up the water. And if you get in the water, you'd be healed. Now you might think to yourself, why does God do that way? I don't know. I'm not Him. Have you learned that I'm not God yet? Has anyone got that revelation that I'm not God? Be thankful that I'm not God. Why did Jesus use spit and mud to heal a blind man? I don't know. I'm not Jesus. I'm not the Holy Ghost. God's thoughts aren't our thoughts. God's ways aren't our ways. So this was a way of getting healing to people. Praise God. And it said there was a certain that was there who had an infirmity or a sickness 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew he'd been there a long time. He said to him, will you be made whole, or do you want to be made whole? The sick man answered him and said, sir, I don't have anybody when the water is troubled to put me in the pool, but while I'm coming, while I'm headed that way, another steps in before me. And remember, it's who gets in there first. Jesus said, rise up, take up your bed and walk. Verse 9 says, immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked on the same day of the Sabbath. There's Jesus healing. Why? Because God's a healer. But what this is, now, we won't have time to turn there. You can say this on your own. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about gifts of the Spirit. Well, the Spirit is God. Gifts of God. There are 9 gifts of the Spirit. And a few of them have to do with miracles and healings. One called the gifts of healings, the working of miracles. Now, the thing with the gifts of healings and the working of miracles is the thing about those things. Now, when they're gifts of healings and work of miracles, it's when they happen instantaneously. This guy got healed instantaneously. Did this guy do anything to get his healing? Nope. Jesus showed up at a gift of the Spirit. When that water was troubled, did those people do anything besides get in, which they had to get in, and they had to have hunger for it, for sure. But it was just, when it happened, when it was God's will to send the angel to stir up the water. Well, that's the way it is with the gifts of healings and the working of miracles. If you study that out in 1 Corinthians 12, the Bible says it's as the Spirit wills, or as God wills. So that means when God decides for a gift of the Spirit to manifest, it will happen. Here, it was a certain season. He didn't tell you when it was going to happen. He didn't say it was every day at noon. He said a certain season. Why? It was as He wills, when He decided. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, oh, brother, if that's how this healing stuff works, how can I be assured that God is going to decide, because God decided when the angel went down. Gifts of the Spirit are as the Spirit, or as God wills, when He decides, for a gift of healing to work and the working of miracles. That's on His time, His decision. You might think, well, I'm going through something in my body. How can I be assured that I know that God is going to... You're telling me, Pastor Mike, that's God's will for me to heal, but now you just showed that it's on His time and when He decides to do it. How do I know when He's going to do it? How do I know when He's going to decide to do it? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. But see, that's not how the only way divine healing works. That's one way divine healing works. But for the Christian, there's a higher and better way that divine healing works. You want to find out what it is? Amen. Amen. Go to Mark chapter 5. Because you might be sitting there thinking, well, I got to wait for God. What if He never decides for me? Because in that portion of Scripture, only one would get it in a certain season. So you could say that in that situation of that pool water, it was only God's will in that situation for the pool. Now, they could have got it a different way, which I'm going to teach you. But for the pool way, it was only His will to do one at a time. So we're going to see it at a certain season. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. I'm not going to read the whole passage because we got to get going, but I'm going to just set it up here. It says, there was a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years and suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, was nothing bettered, but rather she grew worse. Verse 27 says, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press. Notice that. She came in the press. What are we talking about? A great multitude of people around Jesus. She knows if I can get to the healer, I can get my healing. But notice she had to go through the press of people, the multitude of people, as a sick lady who's been sick for 12 years and is broke, probably malnourished if she's been broke and can't buy the right food that she needs for her life and take care of herself with the right medicine. The Bible says she spent everything she had. She's broke and she's sick. And so not only that, she has a blood condition. In those days, when you have a blood condition, you can't go out in the public without saying unclean, unclean, unclean. Because if you bump into somebody in the old days with a blood condition, you thank God we don't live in the old days. You had to let them know. And then they had to go through a ceremonial washing or a ritual of washing to cleanse themselves, which was a pain in the rear. So nobody wanted to be around her. So she's not only overcoming her shame and her embarrassment and the weakness in her body, she's overcoming who knows how many people. We read about Jesus, thousands followed him. But the Bible says she came in the press behind and touched his garment. Maybe we are going to read the whole story. For she said, if I touch his clothes, I'll be whole. And immediately, or straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging or touching you, and you're asking who touched you? They're basically saying, Jesus, everybody's touching you. But he knew there was something different about her touch. And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. She told him what happened. And look what Jesus said to her. Daughter, thank God I decided to heal you today. Daughter, oh, that's not what it says? That laugh must tell me that's not what it says. I thought that's what it said. Daughter, thank your lucky stars I was here today. No. He says to her who faces for 12 years, daughter, your faith made you this way. Yes, Jesus' power was there, but God's power is always here.
Right.
We got to learn to tap into it. He said, daughter, your faith made you whole. Now, this is what I want you to understand, what I want you to see about how God didn't just decide to do it, that she got it done on her behalf. Again, God's power is always there. God's always ready, willing, and able. Isn't it amazing that Jesus didn't say, hey, make way for this sick woman for 12 years. Hey, I'm in this town. I know by the Holy Spirit that there's a woman here who suffered for 12 years. I'm going to go to her house and heal her. Nope. She had to take the first step, didn't she? But thank God she didn't have the mentality like a lot of Christians, which is, I just sure hope God shines his happy face upon me today, and I hope I get my healing today. I hope it's another day. God must not have wanted to do it. That's what most Christians think. Well, if God does it, it's his will, and if he doesn't, it must not be his will. Come on. That's the way a lot of Christians think. What if she would have had that thought? Well, I'm at home, and I can't go out. I got to cry unclean. If he wants me healed, he'll stop here. She'd be sick for 12 years in one day. And then she'd be sick for 12 years in 2 days. And then she'd be sick for 13 years and 14 years. Oh, I'm just waiting on God, waiting on God. You ain't got to wait on God. Her faith went out and took something. And Jesus said, your faith made you this way. But she initiated it. Jesus didn't do anything. She pressed to get to him. Go to Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. Whew, praise God. I had someone last night tell me, it was Brandy from Olean, one of the real faithful people out there. She said, Pastor, and this is what breaks my heart about people that aren't here. She said, Pastor, during this healing series, I've had 3 healing testimonies. 3 things that changed in her body since we started this series. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, this stuff works. Praise God. Mark chapter 10, is that where I said to go? Verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Do you think Jesus noticed the blind people on the streets walking by? Would you notice? I would notice it. If he's crying out to Jesus, that tells me that Jesus ain't coming to him. Blind Bartimaeus, he says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Many said, shut up, blind man. But he cried the more. Imagine if he would have said, oh, I cried out, and Jesus isn't coming. In fact, the people that are around him are telling me to be quiet. I guess it's not God's will to heal me. What if he'd have said that? He could have said that. Well, Jesus has seen me. He heard me cry out, and he didn't come to me. And they're telling me to be quiet. Must be it's not God's will to heal me. But look what happened in verse 48. Many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more. What does it mean? He got louder. Jesus, Son of David. And they're, shut up. Don't you tell me to shut up. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Look what verse 49 says. And Jesus stood still. Bam, it got his attention. Woo-hoo. There's something about faith and hunger in a person that will cause God to pass over 1,000 people, 1,000,000 people to get to the hungry one. Ladies and gentlemen, God is only obligated to the hungry ones. The Bible says, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. They will be satisfied. God is not obliged to the apathetic ones, to the casual ones. God will pass right over the casual ones. God will pass right over the, well, if it be thy will, to the one that's hungry for him. He did it here. The Bible only records one person in that multitude of people, that woman with the issue of blood that got a touch from Jesus that day. Everybody was touching him, but power only went out of him for one, the hungry one. Blind Bartimaeus, everybody shouting, wanting attention for Jesus. He only stopped, the only Bible only records, he only stopped for one person, the hungry one. That's why I don't mind the empty seats. That's why I don't mind sticking with the Word. I'm not here to cater to the world. I'm not here to cater to the flesh. I'm here to cater for the people that are hungry for God's Word. The ones that are hungry for the move of God. The ones that say, I want more of God. Praise the Lord. That's what I'm here to preach to. And it says in verse 49, Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calls you. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Now you have to understand something about casting away his garment. He's a beggar. Because he's blind, and in those days, they would give the beggar so they would know it's not a scam. The government would issue them a certain type of garment so that when people walk by, they would know they're not being scammed. I mean, they had fraud back then. They did. Identity theft for blind people. I did. So they give him a cloak. They give him a cloak, and that shows that he's legitimately blind, and you can give in to him and not be afraid that it's going to somebody that really doesn't have that condition. Well, when he casts away his garment, that's an act of faith right there. That garment is his lifeline. When he throws off the garment, this isn't when his eyes are healed. He throws it away knowing it's my time. Don't need this anymore. Woo! Praise God. And he came to Jesus. And look what Jesus said. And he answered and said, what do you want me to do to you? I love that. Why? Because it's not up to him. Don't look at me that way. It's not up to him. He says, what do you want? What do you want? The blind man said, Lord, that I would receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Jackpot for you. I was here today, no? Go your way. Your faith, your faith, your faith, your faith made you whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. You look at the majority of people that were touched by Jesus in a way in the Bible had to do with their faith. There were moves of the Spirit and gifts of the Spirit. But when those, to sit around and wait for those, you might be waiting your whole life. But with faith, you can have it now. You can have it this second, August 19th, 2018. You can have what you need right now by faith. Faith takes it, praise the Lord. Go to Mark 9, Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. Isn't it amazing? He didn't stop for the blind man. He didn't go over to the blind man. What if he'd have just said, oh, I heard that story about the pool, and man, I sure hope today's my day that Jesus has a gift of the Spirit. Jesus would have kept walking right by him. Some of you have been religiously brainwashed and have been taught that God's just going to do it, and you're just sitting around and you're just waiting for God, and you get frustrated at God, and you wonder, why doesn't God do this? Why doesn't God love me? He's saying, I've given you the highest measure I can, which is the measure of faith. I've given you something that enables you to take it now. Amen. That's why I'm trying to stir you up and inject faith into you. Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto him, if you can believe. That's a big if. But if you can believe, guess what? I got good news for you. If you can believe, All things. All things. Guess what? That doctor's report you got is an all thing. That thing in your finances, that's an all thing. That thing in your body, that's an all thing. That thing in your job, that thing in your home, that thing in your kids, that's an all thing, just so you know. See, you've magnified to be something great and big, but Jesus just said it's an all thing. You need to lower that problem down to an all thing, because he said if you can believe, so the bigger problem isn't the thing, the bigger problem is, can you believe? And if you can believe, that takes care of the all things. So really that big, huge thing that's causing you trouble and making you upset and causing you to lose sleep at night, that's not the problem. That big thing that's scaring you would be taken care of if you could believe. Because if you can believe, there's an automatic response. All things are possible. Praise God. That's what we need to get you into faith. You see, faith is the currency, I've said this before, of heaven. Just like in the natural, you go to the store to try to buy something, you cannot pay with a smile. It doesn't work. Can't pay with your good looks. Can't pay by batting your eyes, you know. Can't pay by sweet talking. They want money. Currency, don't they? It's the same way with faith. The Bible says, if you can believe, then it's possible. It's to say, if you have the faith for it, you can come and pick up what you need from me. Why is it quiet in here? That'll make you happy. Because why? Say, oh, I got to be in faith. No, no, no. Faith enables you to not have to wait for it. Faith enables you to take it now. Faith is your part. You ought to be more happy. Don't make me start telling jokes. That'll make you more sad, probably, so I better not do that. Go with me to Mark 11, 23 and 24 we're going to look at. Mark 11, 23. God is good to us. Amen. Mark 11, 23 are our verses that Jesus gave us concerning faith and things that you need. So what am I saying to you so far in this sermon here is that if you need healing, you ain't got to wait for it. The way that you're going to receive your healing is by faith. So I'm trying to teach you a little bit about faith today to receive that healing. You don't have to sit around and wait for Pastor Mike to lay hands on you. You don't have to. Now, we've had some amazing testimonies. Praise God. If you weren't here, you heard Julie's testimony. You didn't hear Julie's testimony last week. She got in the Word and got built faith up in her, and then through the laying on of hands after that, she was instantly healed. We can do that. It wouldn't have happened if she hadn't gotten her mind renewed to the Word, by the way. But we can lay hands, we can bring in mighty anointed ministers that have healing anointings, and we can believe for the moves of the Spirit and things, but why wait for that? Amen. I want it now, praise God. Amen. Mark 11, 23 says, verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, well, sickness can be a mountain, can it? This will apply anything in your life, but sickness can sure be a mountain. What is a mountain? Something that's big. Something that looks hard. Something that's in your way. Something you can't see past. That's a mountain. Anybody have those kind of problems in your life? What am I talking about? Things that are hard. Things that look like there's no way to pass through that thing. Thing you can't even see the other side, so big and bad in your face. But Jesus said the mountain can be taken care of simply. Whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt. That's unbelief. In his heart, but shall believe, that's faith. That those things which he says come to pass, he'll have whatever he said. So Jesus said, if you'll speak faith words or words that you believe that are laced with faith to the problem will go away. That's what he said. In verse 24, he tells us you can do it by praying as well. Believe in God that way. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, notice this, believe, you receive, and you shall have them. So now he tells you that if you'll pray a faith prayer, and when you pray it, if you believe when you pray it, the things that you need will come. Praise God. Now, the thing that trips people up here is a lot of people are praying, and a lot of people are saying, but a lot of people aren't getting. I'm not saying it in this, but I'm saying it generally in the body of Christ. A lot of people are praying, and a lot of people are saying, but a lot of people aren't receiving. Well, why is that? He said if you'd say and pray, you'd receive. Because a lot of people are saying, but their words are filled with doubt and unbelief. A lot of people are praying, but their prayers are filled with doubt and unbelief. And go back to verse 23, if you would, Heather. He said, and cast the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he's saying. Well, let's look at that then. If it's God's will to heal, and it's his promise for you to be healed, and the Bible says you can speak to that mountain of sickness, and it'll go, that means that when you say, in the name of Jesus, whatever condition, sickness, leave my body, I declare healing for myself from head to toe, that means you can't just say it and expect it to happen unless when you say it, you believe without a shadow of a doubt, that's what the facts are. And then you'll have what you say. Verse 24. Therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, if he just said pray and you'll have it, then it wouldn't matter if you were in faith or not. But he says, when you pray, you also must believe you've received. Well, when you're praying for it, you're praying for something because you need something. In a sickness, let's break that down. If you have a condition in your body and you're praying and believing God for healing, you're doing that because in that position, you have a need. You have a problem in your body. But in that moment, the Bible says for it to work, in the midst of the symptoms, in the midst of the doctor's report, in the midst of how garbage you feel in your body, you have to believe that you're healed. This is where people fumble the ball. It's easy to say. It's easy to pray. But where people struggle is they're saying with doubt and unbelief. They don't believe a word they're saying. Oh, by his stripes I'm healed. You remember, I'm going to use the example again because I don't know, it seems good to me and it makes sense. What is faith words? What is belief praying? Well, I'll show you what faith is. You want to know what faith is? Because the Bible says faith is fully assured. Faith is persuaded. Faith is, I believe it, praise God. Well, let me show you what belief is. If I were to say, I'm going to drop this bottle, no one's going to move, I'm not going to move, I'm just going to hold my hand out and let go of this bottle. And I asked people, I said, how many of you believe without a shadow of a doubt this bottle is going to hit the ground? Every single one of you would say, it's going to hit the ground. I know it's going to hit the ground. I know it's going to hit the ground. What's that called? That's confidence, isn't it? It's called belief. That's called assurance. That's called you're persuaded. You're not thinking all of a sudden it's going to hover or fly around or stop right before it hits. You know that you know it's going to hit the ground. What's that called? Faith. That's called belief. Amen. Well, let me ask you. When you say, by his stripes I'm healed. When you say, he'll meet all my needs. He's paid for my poverty as well. When you say, I won't be alone all my life. God's going to bring me a godly spouse. Or this is coming into my life. My business is going to turn up. Whatever it is for your life. Whatever mountain you're facing. When you say that. And you go to God with that. Are you as convinced that you have it? Because remember, it's when you say it and when you pray it. And when you say it and when you pray it is when the problem's there. Are you as convinced when you're saying, by his stripes I'm healed, as a naturally sick person, or by the he supplies and meets all my needs when there's no money in the bank account? My kids are going to do this when they're off living like the devil. God's going to bring me a godly spouse when it looks like you're as lonely as can be. When you say those things, are you as convinced that they are manifesting in your life as you are as that bottle's going to hit the ground? If you're not, your faith needs work. Because I just showed you what faith was. And if you think you're going to go to God, because he said, if you can believe, what's belief? Belief is faith, belief is persuasion. He said, if you can be persuaded, if you can be convinced, if you can have confidence, you can have it. So don't think you can go to God with hope. Hope's not faith. Well, I hope it happens. That doesn't mean it's going to. If you think you can go to him with some half-hearted faith and receive, no, it's got to be the kind of, it's got to be the water bottle dropping faith. Do you have water bottle dropping faith for your mountain? When it's in the worst of the worst. If you don't, then you don't have faith and you won't receive. And then you're going to have to sit around and wait for some divine move of heaven when the Bible says you can take it now. Go with me to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. John G. Lake was a minister, I believe, had over, I can't remember how many number, 100,000, 500,000, I can't remember, it was a high number of confirmed medical healings. I believe it was 500,000. In Seattle, Washington, He had a healing clinic back there years and years ago. And that the United States government actually declared Seattle, Washington, at one time when he was doing his ministry, the healthiest city in America. And he said this. He said instant healings, like gifts of the Spirit, are a curse. Because when a gift of the Spirit operates, that's a gift from God. People see that, and that's what people get their appetite for. A touch from God. Why? Because a touch from God means you didn't have to do anything. And in this day and age, people don't like to do things. It's true. And he said instant healings are a curse. Well, number one, they're not the highest level of way to receive from God. Faith's the highest way to receive from God. And we know with faith there's patience. And standing your ground during the tests and trials. That it sometimes isn't immediate. Sometimes it takes the while for the manifestation to show up. Not on God's part, but just getting your faith in order, getting belief. The enemy trying to withhold things back. You stay with it, you'll get it. And I'll get there, but he said instant healings are a curse. But if you're not in that place, we talked about this a little bit last week, because if faith is the way you can receive and you can have it now, and you don't have to wait for a divine move of God, which is good news to you. That's what my point is. That's good news. Healing is available to you today. But you say, Pastor, I don't have water bottle dropping faith for that. I was convinced that bottle would hit the ground, and you know it would if I dropped it. But I'm not as convinced. I mean, I say by his stripes, and I say he heals all my diseases, but really I walk back from that prayer and walk back from that statement discouraged. If you believed it, you'd be happy. If you believe, you receive it, because when you receive it in the natural, guess what? You'll be happy. So if you believed, you received it in the spirit before it comes, guess what? If you truly believe you got it, you'll be happy. You won't be discouraged. But if you're here and you say, I don't have water bottle dropping faith for this or any of this stuff. I'm trying to get you water bottle. I mean, that's what we want. Water bottle dropping faith. Romans 10:17 says, faith. So then faith, belief, convinced, persuasion, confidence comes. How does it come? Because that's what you need. Without it, you don't receive. Because Jesus said, if you have faith, you can receive. Well, now, isn't God so good to tell us how we can receive? And then he says, this is what you need to receive. And now he tells us how to get what we need to receive. He says, faith comes, or faith shows up, or faith is birthed in your life. What kind of faith? The faith that makes all things possible. He said, that kind of faith will show up in your life, the faith that's required to receive by hearing and hearing God's word. Something happens where when somebody gets in the word. I remember going through an extreme bout of condemnation years ago to the point of having terrible thoughts about myself and anti what God has said about me and the plan that God had for my life. Just, I've always been real hard on myself, and this was a season that it was coming down strong on me. Well, I don't want to live that way. I don't want to walk out those things that my mind is set on and things. And so I started listening to the word on condemnation. I started listening to the word on what the Bible says about God's plan for my life. I started listening to the word, what the Bible says about righteousness and how he's got a plan for me, and my yesterdays don't mean nothing. Amen. And I heard that a few times, and it got me excited when I heard it, just like you hear about healing, get excited. But when I walked away, I didn't really believe I was free from that. I was discouraged. But I kept at it, because the Bible says if I'll keep hearing the word, faith will show up. If you'll trust the process and keep at it, eventually there's going to come a revelation. Hallelujah. Eventually there's going to come a revelation. And faith all of a sudden is going to be born in you for that thing. And then you're going to do Mark 11:23 the way the Bible says, and you're going to say, by his stripes I'm healed. But those words are going to be, I don't care what my symptoms say, I don't care what the doctor says, I'm healed right now. F.F. Bosworth, he was the writer of, I believe, the greatest book on healing ever, Christ the Healer. He had a revelation on healing before a lot of people did. He said, instead of saying, pray for me, we should first say, teach me God's word so I can intelligently cooperate with my recovery. Pray for me is you expecting God to reach down at some point and change things. But faith says you can take it now. Blind Bartimaeus on the side of the road. Thou son of David, someone pray for me. Someone pray for me. Someone pray for me. No, take it now, blind Bartimaeus. The woman of the issue of blood, I'm going to set my house. Somebody just pray for me. And the whole time, because we know the end of the story, it was available to her right now. Hallelujah. Instead of saying pray for me, we should first say teach me God's word. Why? Because what happens when you learn the word? Faith comes. What happens when faith comes? Receiving comes. So I can intelligently cooperate with my recovery. See, the point of faith, and why this is such a struggle, especially with healing, is because you are to believe you have something before it's naturally showed up in your body. And why is that so hard? Because sickness is all about feeling. Symptoms in your body is all about how you feel. But God's saying, you must believe when you say it, not when it comes, that's not faith. You must believe when you pray it, right in the midst of your sickness. That's difficult for a lot of people because their faith hasn't grown yet. It's difficult for a lot of people because the feelings and the symptoms in their body are so real. They feel the pain. They feel the hurt. They have the consequences or results of that problem in their body. It plays out every day of their life. And so because of that, that's so real to them, it's become more real than God's word. But God says, the way I do things is I need you to have faith before it comes. And when you have faith, I'll flow my power through that thing. That's what he says. Just think, that woman with the issue of blood, walking down her neighborhood that day was the power she needed. Had she not done anything, guess what? The power would have just kept right on going. God's power is always available. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, my promises are yes and amen. He's not withholding healing from you. He's not withholding your prosperity from you. But he's waiting for you to cooperate. He's waiting for you to do his word, which is get into faith. Faith pleases him. Amen. And you have to believe it before it manifests. And that's why people struggle with it, because it has so much to do with feeling. Well, I'll go to Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5. We're almost done. Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5. Praise God. It says, now we know by studying this that these two words, griefs and sorrows, mean sickness and diseases. You can go back and look 2 weeks ago at the message we taught on that. But it says, surely Jesus, that's who he's talking about here, born or took up or put upon himself our griefs and sorrows, which is translated in the Hebrew as sickness and diseases. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we will be. No. We someday will be. No. With his stripes, by what he did 2,000 some years ago, we at that moment are healed. Why? Because God is the God that calleth those things which be not as though they are. Remember, he looked at a 99-year-old man who did not have a son with his wife Sarah and said, your name is not Abram anymore. It is now Abraham, which means right now you are a father of many nations. Yet there was no kid. But that's how God does things. He believes it before it shows up. And he expects you to be an imitator of him and believe it before it shows up. Praise God. And so the word says, with his stripes. When was the stripes? Back on the cross. He said, healing belongs to you not when it shows up in your body. Healing belongs to you when it showed up on his body in the form of sickness. That's what you have to renew your mind to. Because sickness is so real in your body and the symptoms, and they show up and they manifest, we have a hard time believing. How can I believe I'm healed? I have this in my body. It's real. The doctors can see it. It manifests in me. Got to renew your mind to how God does things. With his stripes, we are right now healed. See, this whole feeling business. Remember I talked about feelings a couple weeks ago? What does it feel like to be saved? What is saved? Accept Jesus, your Lord. What's that feeling? Some people might say, well, it means to feel good, to be happy, to be excited about God. Remember I told you I went and did tree stands in Ohio and check our tree stands with my Amish friends? And I found out their day starts a lot earlier than my day. They get up early. And when they told me, you know, I said, I'll do whatever you want. And that was the wrong thing to say. They told me a time I hadn't seen that time in a long time. Well, that alarm went off, and I told you I got up, and I had no idea where I was or what was going on or what I was supposed to do. I was panicking. I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm late for church. I'm literally doing this in the dark. I was literally doing that, and I think, and all of a sudden it hit me, and oh, I wanted to go back to bed so bad. I was so mad I committed to going. In that moment, I'll tell you what, I didn't feel saved. I didn't feel in that moment saved, but guess what? I was saved. Still saved. When somebody gets fired that's a born-again Christian, you think they feel saved, but they are. When someone has an argument with somebody that they love and something bad happens or things, trials and tests come, do people feel saved? No, but you are saved. I don't feel healed. So what? You are healed. Amen. Got to get past that feeling stuff. I remember I was talking to someone last week about condition they've healed from, manifested naturally, that they kept hearing the word and the word and the word and the word and the word. And what does the Bible say? Faith comes by the word. Faith comes by the word. Eventually you get to a water bottle dropping faith before the thing even shows up. While the symptoms are manifested in your body, you have water bottle dropping faith. You say, don't matter. It's like the time I was at the hospital with that appendix problem. It had been there for 3 days, ruptured, and the poison went through my body, and I was sick and laying in bed, and I'm sitting there saying, Father, I thank you, by his stripes, I'm healed. I'm healed right now, Father. I'm healed right now, Father. That's called water bottle dropping faith. I was convinced. Didn't matter what the symptoms were saying. Didn't matter what the doctor was saying. All that mattered was what my God said. And this person was telling me, you know, an impossible condition, and telling me their testimony, and that at one point, eventually, something went off on the inside of them. It wasn't when the symptoms went away. It wasn't when that thing cleared up. It was when they got a revelation in their heart. What happened? Faith was born. And they said to me, at that point, I knew I was healed. Still the symptoms. Still the problem in the body. But at that point, the point of faith, water bottle dropping faith. Didn't matter what the symptoms were saying. Didn't matter what the doctor said. I knew that I was healed. Now, if you're not there, I told you how to get there. Meditate in the word on healing, and just keep doing it until you get water bottle dropping faith, till you're convinced, till it doesn't matter what your body says anymore. Financially, till it doesn't matter what your checkbook says anymore. That's called faith. Faith will stare hell right in the face and laugh at it. Don't be too excited about this now. I'm sorry, I don't want to get you too worked up back there now. You seed me on a Wednesday night, throw this pick and hit her in the face. Now, I didn't mean to do it like it did, but you can see what I can do with one of these things. I'll whip it at you. Don't fall asleep on me. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, and we'll fix the close. Two more verses, we're done. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. What am I showing you? How you can get healed by faith. You can take it today. You ain't got to wait for me to pray for you. You ain't got to wait for some big name minister to come in with some healing anointing. You can receive it by faith. You can receive your finances by faith. You don't need some financial anointing in the room. You can receive your promise right now by faith, and then the thing will... As soon as you get into faith, the manifestation starts coming closer and closer. As soon as you're in faith, bam, it's closer and closer. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. What's he saying? The things we believe for... There's no answer in the natural on the horizon that would lead us to believe our promise is coming. But he said, we live by faith. Amen. Abraham was 99, the Bible says, as good as dead. His wife's womb, 90 years old, Sarah, was womb was dead. Not baby-making situation here. But yet the Bible says Abraham was persuaded, convinced. Didn't consider his own body. What am I saying? There was nothing in the natural that Abraham had to grab onto that said, oh, there's a reason why we should have a baby. There was no hope. Some of you are in situations of no hope. Faith is your hope. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what faith is. Faith believes it when there's nothing on the horizon that shows that it's coming. Faith is praising God when you're $2,000 short and there ain't no money coming in to pay that. And rejoicing in the middle of the night. And getting out of a rocking chair after I put Caleb back down his bed. And I'll tell you what. You ever seen the movie The Hurt Locker? It talking about the guys of the military that have to disarm the bombs, you know, and they go real careful. That's what I felt like when I put Caleb back to bed. Because you got to be careful of that little package. You don't want to wake him up. I mean, it's like a bomb going off. You should have heard him. His voice was so loud. It's just, but when I'd set him down there, I'd dance so quietly out of his room. Pray, not because he's asleep, but that was part of it. I'd dance out of that room and say, Father, I thank you. That $2,000, it's showing up. Father, I don't care. I don't have it. I don't care. I don't have a paycheck. It's coming. Glory to God. That's water bottle dropping faith right there. Amen. Hallelujah. Nothing to be seen. There were no money on the horizon. We didn't drop any faith hints to church people. My pastor already told me I ain't giving you a penny. Shut me right down. He did. Didn't tell family members we were going through anything. Just kept our mouth shut and talked to him. Amen. Woo! It showed up every time. And last verse, Hebrews 10:23. Aren't you glad you're here today? Amen. Just think, this is available every week in this place. I'm not bragging on the preaching. I'm bragging on the Word. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just bragging on the Word. I have the easiest job in the world. I'm a professional plagiarizer. I just read what he wrote. Praise God. It's easy. Glory to God. Hebrews 10:23. Now, here's the thing. What does Hebrews 6:12 say? They receive by faith and patience. We know that when Mark 11:24 says, if we'll believe, we receive, it will come to us. He doesn't tell us when. And it's not him withholding it. There's natural things. There's opposition. But all we need to concern ourselves with is getting in faith, and the promise will show up. We just don't have a time frame. So from the time you get into faith, from the time it shows up, there's a space between that. Excuse me. It's called the patience part of it, right? So what do you do during that patience part? That's where a lot of people trip up, the patience part. And what does the Word say? If you'll faint not, you'll reap. Don't faint during the patience part. What do you do during the patience part? Verse 23 tells us. Let us hold fast. That means hold on tight. Keep a grip. Well, if he's telling you to hold on tight to something, it's because something's going to come try to shake that out of your hands. If I said to you, if I can get that bottle out of your hand, if give me 10 minutes. If I can't get that bottle out of your hand in 10 minutes, I'll give you $1,000. You ain't going to grip it like this with your pinky and your thumb. Are you? You're going to say, okay. I dare you to try, Pastor Mike. Bring it on. And we'd have a scuffle, right? But you'd be holding tight to that thing. Why? Because there's something coming to try to take it away from you. Hallelujah. So if he's telling you to hold fast to your profession, that means confession. Hold fast to it because there's going to be something from the time you confessed it to the time it shows up that's going to try to rattle that thing out of you. Because if he can get you from starting in faith and then halfway through, it doesn't work. He's got you, because faith is an endurance that sees it all the way through. Hold fast to the confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful, that promise. What's that mean? Okay, I know that I'm healed. I know that I'm healed. Like that testimony I told you, that person, it wasn't when the symptoms went away. They had a revelation. They had been in the Word so much on healing, and they, boom, knew they got it. By his stripes I'm healed. By his stripes I'm healed. You're confessing it. In day 21, the symptoms get worse. In day 65, you have a doctor's appointment. He says nothing's changed. What's that called? That's called shaking. Trying to get you to drop that confession. Why? Because if you can hold on to that thing, there's something good coming at the end. So what do you do when day 60, whatever, the doctor says it's not better? Or month 7 or month 8 and nothing's changed? You hold fast to that thing and you say, by his stripes I'm healed. It's showing up in my body. I did that for almost 2 years for finances, being almost $2,000 short a month with no paycheck for hope that it was going to change. Nobody knew what we were going through. It was simply out on a limb with God. For 2 years, every time the calendar would flip, I'd be another $2,000 short. And you talk about some shaking things, unexpected things coming up, car problems, unexpected things with a baby, unexpected things with a house, just life happening. Ever had life happen to you? It comes to try to shake that confession. I didn't all of a sudden say, oh my gosh, oh, we already are $2,000 short. Now we have to pay for the car. What am I going to do? Nope. I held fast to my confession of faith. I said, he meets all my needs. The money will come. It'll show up. All my needs will be met all the time. What? That's called water bottle dropping faith. Belief in the midst when there's nothing to grab onto. Convinced. So I'm here to tell you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, if you need healing, you ain't got to wait for it. Don't sit around and wait for God. Take it by faith. Take it by faith, glory to God. It belongs to you. His promises are yes and amen. He said all the promises can be accessed by faith. Yeah, there's gifts of healings. Yes, there's working of miracles. But we don't have to wait for that stuff. He gave us a higher thing that says we can have it now. If you can get into faith, you can receive it today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word today. Oh, we were helped this morning. Because your word is our help. Your word is our answer. And Father, I pray that the people's hearts would be stirred. Father, I pray that the people's hearts, that whatever they're facing, whatever mountain they're going through, it's not the mountain that's so big, it's the fact that they need to get their faith there. Because all things are possible if we'll believe. So the things aren't the problem, it's our belief that is. Because you're not the problem, you can handle anything, faith can handle anything. So Father, I pray that people's eyes would be open to this for all areas of their life, not just healing, but all areas. And I pray that they would get a revelation, Father, of what you have said in the Word of God concerning what they can have and how they can receive it. And I pray that they would step forward today and draw a line in the sand and get into faith and not be moved by the natural, not be moved by symptoms and not be moved by checkbooks and not be moved by rumors and words they're hearing, but only be moved by what you say. To be moved by the Word more than symptoms in the natural, that's water bottle, drop in faith. So Father, I pray that for each and every person. I pray that their faith would fail not. And Father, I just thank you this morning for Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus, we thank you that you've offered us heaven. Healing is great. Thank you for that. It's like an added bonus to the main benefit of the package that we get. But salvation and going to heaven is the greatest promise that we can receive through Jesus. And so, Father, I pray for every single person here. If I could ask a favor of everyone here today, would you bow your heads, please, and close your eyes? I want everybody that can hear my voice, and including people on live stream right now over the internet, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, do I know 100% without a shadow of a doubt that I'd go to heaven? Ask yourself that question. Because when I ask myself that question, my answer is 100% sure I would go to heaven. And you say, Pastor, how can you be so sure? Well, the Bible tells us how to get there. We've taken trips before, and I've had no idea how to get there, and thank God for directions and GPS and things like that. They got me there. Well, heaven's a place we all want to go. It's the best place ever. But the Bible tells us there's directions on how to get there, and see, if you take the wrong directions, you don't end up where you want to go. But if you take the right directions, you'll go where you want to go. And so if you want to go to heaven, I'm here to tell you the directions. It's not church attendance. Say, Pastor, you're a pastor. Oh, church is good because that's where you learn about God. And that's where your faith gets strengthened. And the Bible says so many wonderful things about people that are planted. But that's not how you get to heaven. It's not about your good deeds outweighing your bad. You say, I've been immoral. I've been a bad person. So what? He didn't say that's how you get to heaven. He didn't say it was by being a generous person and giving money. He said there's two qualifications for a person to get into heaven. Number one, they must believe in Jesus. The Bible says whosoever would believe would not perish. So number one, if you're here today, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I don't know. I want to, but I don't know. Let me ask you, do you believe in Jesus? Now, you don't have to understand everything about him and know everything about him, but in your heart of hearts, I'm talking, the deepest places of your heart, you would say, I don't understand it all, but I do believe he was real. And I do believe the Easter message that he died on the cross and that he rose again. If you can say that's you, that's the first qualification. But the second qualification is believing will cause you to receive. Jesus stands at the door of your heart and he knocks. He's not an intruder and he's not the SWAT team. What am I saying? He doesn't just barge his way in. He waits for an invitation. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I want to. And I do believe in Jesus. Well, that's not the only part. You have to receive him. You have to welcome him in. It's simple and it's easy. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. But first, let me encourage you with this. I won't embarrass you this morning. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. I won't call you forward. I won't have you stand up or say anything on your own. We're not trying to embarrass you. You're not becoming a member of this church. But if you're here today and you could say, Pastor, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven, but I do believe in Jesus and I want to receive him. Again, you're not becoming a member of this church. You're not. All you're doing is saying, I want to belong to him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. If you want to receive Jesus here this morning and know for sure that you're born again and going to heaven, would you just slip your hand up in the air and put it right back down? Anybody at all? Don't let this moment pass you by. We're not trying to embarrass. I see that hand. You can put it down. Is there anybody else in this service that's never made Jesus? See, I told you I'm not going to embarrass anybody. That wants to receive Jesus. Sometimes people are shy. If you can say, Pastor, I want to go to heaven, but I've never done it the Bible way. Is there anybody else before we close the service that wants to receive Jesus before we close? Would you just lift your hand in the air and put it right back down? I promise you, we won't embarrass you. Anybody, as I look around, anybody going once? Going twice? I see that hand. You can put it down. That is why we don't rush this. I know there's lunch waiting. I've heard there's a smorgasbord waiting for us in the fellowship hall of goodies. But sometimes people are shy. Listen, don't miss this opportunity. Say, Pastor, how do I know it's me? Your heart's telling you. Put that hand up. Put that hand up. Anybody else? There's no pressure, but anybody else want to receive Jesus? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just lift your hand in the air before we close. Anybody? We've had two hands. I see that hand. You can put it down. Anybody else want to receive Jesus before we close? Now you know why I don't rush this. Anybody else want to make sure they're born again? Anybody? Going once? Going twice. Father, we had a few hands in here today. And Lord, there might be people on live stream that have never received Jesus. Of course, I can't see them. But also, if you're here this morning and you say, oh, Pastor, I don't care if you're giving away money. I wouldn't raise my hand in church. I understand that I'm a shy person as well. But how many of you know it's not the raising of the hand that gets you born again? It's the declaration of the heart. So if you're here this morning along with the people that raised their hands and you say, I should have raised my hand, you can be included in this prayer. Again, raising your hand doesn't get you saved. But I'm going to go ahead and pray a prayer and ask everybody to repeat it after me. Everybody in the congregation, so nobody's on their own. But when I pray it, I'm asking you to mean it with all your heart. Basically, all we're doing is crying out to God and asking Jesus to come in. So those people that raised their hands, or those people that should have raised their hands, those people that are listening now online or in the future, along with everybody in the church, let's pray this prayer right now. Let's receive Jesus. Say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you rose from the dead, and I ask you to come into my heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you look up here real quick before you leave? This just came up in my spirit, so I need to obey this. You know, when we pray that prayer, it seems so simple and so easy. A lot of people come in from different backgrounds and religious things, and people say, it can't be that easy. It can't be that easy. I was taught this and that. It can't be that easy to get saved. But I want to remind you that when Jesus died on the cross, there were two people next to him, one on one side, one on the other. And one of them was a criminal who said, mocked him and made fun of him. But the other guy who was on the cross next to Jesus was a criminal. He was a bad person, in what we'd call a bad person in the natural. Wasn't a churchgoer. Wasn't somebody that did things right in the natural. Wasn't, you could say, moral or godly. You know, what religion thinks are the only people that are worthy of God. He was a criminal, and he was being put to death because of his wrongdoings. And he looked at Jesus, and he said, I believe you are who you say you are. And Jesus didn't look at him and say, sorry, you're not qualified. Sorry, you didn't go to church enough. Sorry, your good deeds didn't outweigh your bad deeds. No, Jesus looked at him and said, you're in. That's the Pastor Mike translation, but that's basically what he said to him. You're in. You made it. So if you're here this morning and you say, I didn't jump in on that because it cannot be that simple. That's how merciful he is. It doesn't matter how much wrong you've done. It doesn't matter how ungodly or immoral you've been. Jesus is the measuring stick for us. Praise God. So if you didn't pray that prayer because of wrong thinking, I just showed you in the Bible that if you'll just believe, doesn't matter what you did, a guy on the cross dying for being wrong, Jesus accepted him because he met the qualifications. If you say, I didn't pray that prayer because of that, and this is on my heart to say this, I don't usually say this at the end of service, you get along with God, you say, I heard pastor say, it doesn't matter what I've done, it doesn't matter how little I've gone to church, it doesn't matter how ungodly or immoral I've been, Lord, I do believe in you, and I ask you to come into my heart. If you do that, he'll save you. Amen. And if you're here this morning and you prayed that prayer for the very first time, and you didn't raise your hand, Would you let somebody know that goes to the church or let me know? I want to get some materials in your hand and I want to help you going forward. Again, we're not making a big deal and embarrassing things, but I want to know who's received because sometimes people are just shy to raise their hand. But don't forget, we have Wednesday service, 6:30, and we have a smorgasbord of goodies over there. Let's stand to our feet and worship Him. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for all that You've done. Father, we love You this morning. We receive what You have for us. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Amen. You are dismissed.